We shall continue this morning. Do recognize that today is International Day here at the Grace Gospel Church, and the children will be given their various exercises. I believe that when you are preaching in the Word of God, that it is for all occasions of time. Amen. When we're speaking of the body of Christ, it covers it all. Yes, we are going to give recognition to those that are the components of the body of Christ that are scattered throughout the world, in every nation, in every tongue, in every persuasion, every race, and both genders. Amen. But we do this as far as recognition, but our focus yet remains on the body of Christ with its, amen, emphasis on the head. The body of Christ is as valuable as the head. This is why week in and week out, year in and year out, we shall continue to come before you with only one subject and one theme, Jesus. You don't ever have to worry about what my subject is. Amen. We're not talking about Jesus. Then we don't, this pulpit is not the place, amen, for other things, and especially on Sunday morning. Amen. You come here, we're going to go into the text. We're going to read the text within the context. Yes. We're going to exegete and explain the text, and we'll let the text do the talking. Amen. And then we finish the text, we're through with the message until the next Sunday. All right. All right. We had been moving through, as I would say, we're a good 80 to 85% through our discourse and dissertation here. As we look at the theme, the glorious body of Christ, the church, amen, we ask that you turn to Galatians chapter 3. Elder Liberman is our designated reader this morning. And then, of course, I think we had concluded the section in Colossians chapter 1, verses, the context of which was verses 15 through 20. Today we shall move into Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 13. We're talking about all of, amen, of mankind whom God has chosen and had chosen and elected and placed in the body of Christ in the eternal realm before creation. Amen. Oh, it's so glorious to know that where we are is secondary to who we are. Amen. What your ethnicity is secondary to who you are. Amen. All right. Everyone has Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Say amen. Amen. All right, to elder, read what we always read. And then from there, we're going to move to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. All right, read or read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
And this is what, as we look at the fact that we today honor all of the different nations. And I know this is Black History Month, so forth and so on. We have made the determination that we shall honor all men, shall take this Sunday and honor all men. And the reason we do this is because here we're looking at it. In the body of Christ, read that again.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
There's neither Jew nor Gentile, as that would be translated.
There's neither bond nor free.
There's neither bond nor free.
There's neither male and female.
There's neither male nor female.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
And notice the emphasis is, as in the Greek it reads, in Christo Iizu, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. In the body there are all persuasions, and amen, and both genders, amen. But the focus is not on, the fact of what you are, as it is expressive and as the declarations of time testify. Because as you look at time, as we have been saying over and over and over and over, and more importantly, what the Bible is teaching us, that the Bible is for revelation, a declaration, what we call manifestation only. Amen. It is a working out of what God had planned and purposed in eternity.
Yeah.
All right. Read verse 29.
Verse 29. And if he be Christ,
those who are Christ,
then are ye Abraham's seed,
mm-hmm,
and heirs according to the promise.
Again. Amen. That is not speaking about Abrahamic promise. Amen. Oh my God, we are not in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Based on the Abrahamic promise. When you look at the context of here, of what Paul, is conveying, he is discoursing, the essence of faith as opposed to the law, and he gives what the purpose is for the law is in the preceding verses of Scripture, but the focus as far as Abraham is concerned is that he is the father of the originator of faith. From the point of God's dealing with Abraham, it becomes, established that it is through faith, it is through the vehicle of faith, that God communicates. And that communication goes another step, and basically what it shows is when you look at the total picture of God's working in behalf of his elect and salvation, what you come up with is that it is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is his faithfulness. Amen. The fact that the blood of Jesus is available allows God, to show love, to show have what y'all are hearing this morning, to show grace and to show mercy. Amen. Which he did in eternity. So the blood of Jesus was available to God in eternity. And this is what he used when he chose and elected you and placed you into the body of Christ. Amen. Long before he ever created you. Amen. So he saved you before he ever made you. All right. Now, let's go right quickly. And I've got a time constraint I'm dealing with here this morning. We do have the children that will be coming to give their presentations. And I am keeping that in mind. So let's expeditiously move to Colossians. Oh my God. It is so wonderful. It is such a blessing. I mean, I can't think of anything that is more blessed than to be able to open the Word of God and understand what's there. Especially that part that's speaking directly to us. Amen. To go into these epistles and see these directives and these instructions. This glorious information that goes all the way back past time, before time, into the eternal realm, amen, and God has pulled back the cover, amen, and shown the light that we are able to see and comprehend His glorious work. Oh my God, that He loved us before, amen, we ever came on the scene. Amen. All right, everyone has Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, and this is where we will begin our discourse and exegesis this morning. Every elder, what I want you to do, the context here is verses 9. Oh, my God, there's so much up above it. I'm telling you. One of these days, we all just have a preacher thong. they have singer rambles where they just sing vows and people just sit there, amen. But oh my God, to just open this word and don't even worry about the time. As God begins to give us the enlightenment of what's here. I know there are things that are going on in the world, and I could go through a litany of things that have happened just from the last time we were here last Sunday, reading the news of all of the things that are occurring. And we're not here as ostriches sticking our head in the sand and saying that these things are not occurring and that they are not important. But we've got to prioritize. Amen. We're only on this earth for a short period of time. Amen. While we're here, things are going to happen. All things are going to happen. There's no way. Amen. I don't care what you do and what provisions you make. Amen. That things are just going to happen. And they don't just happen. They're part of God's decree. But if we're going to walk in peace and have the tranquility that is absolutely available for the child of God, we must not look at the things around us from the horizontal view and absolutely not get so overwhelmed that we fall down and look at them with the net eye view. Amen. But oh my God, God has given us the privilege that we can, amen, be lifted up above the world and to the essence of the vertical plane where God looks down and sees as He sees. Amen. Some say from eternity to eternity. No, eternity and see time is just a little speck that God created in eternity and see the essence of God and what He has worked out and see, amen, the final results and culmination of what God has done, and we can see that after all of this is past, we are glorified, amen, we are placed, we are established in the body of Christ, all the essence of eternal peace and joy.
Glory to God.
Thank
God. Right now. Thank you, dear. Hallelujah.
And if you know this, while all of this stuff is going on around, amen, from the vertical plane, we call it a bird's eye view, we look down upon it. That's the best view to see. Huh? Amen. Because whatever is coming is going to come, and when the time comes, it goes. You know, as the King James often says, it comes to pass, and it came to pass. It came, amen, it came because it was ordered, and it passed because it was ordered. All right, everyone has Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, elders have said, read. We don't have time. Just read the context. And next week, we'll go back up and pull a few nuggets out of the antecedent of prior verses. But we're going to, for the sake of time, we're going to look at the amen in the order of the what the verses have the text itself, amen, as we look into the Word of God. All right, 2 and 9, everyone got it again, amen? All right, read the context.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily,
mm-hmm.
and ye are complete in him.
My God. I mean, that should be enough right there. Every problem you got, every problem that you got that you don't know about, it's solved right there. Keep reading.
Hallelujah. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power.
Mm-hmm.
In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands.
Mm-hmm.
And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Amen. This is what we praise God for. More than a house, more than that house that you got to keep on working on, otherwise it'll fall down on you. And more than that car that's going to deteriorate no matter what you do. Amen. And more than all of the other earthly possessions that we certainly thank God for. And there's a place for that. In the Old Testament, you have the word for praise. There is Shabbat. Amen. But here, this goes beyond that. Amen. There's a difference between a spiritual blessing and a physical, a natural, or earthly blessing. And here, amen, he speaks about, amen, the zenith of what God has done. Amen. You go to the top amen, the workings, amen. It speaks about the fact, amen, that we who are not deserving are recipients of the grace of God. The grace of God. And this is why we put a high value rating on a grace praise that we do on a Shabbat. Amen. It is more glorious that he has saved you than if he gives you a raise on the job. Justification for our ways, a new home. I know that sounds crazy in regards to what we think, especially with all of the different messages that are coming out, prosperity, healings, and so forth and so on. And of course, we're happy for everyone who received a physical blessing. Only thing we're saying is, don't confuse a spiritual blessing, the spiritual blessings with natural or physical blessings. Amen. They are in different categories of praise. And you're going to get all happy and elated to the point that your greatest joy is going to be because of something, amen, that you have become possessors of, amen, in the temporary sphere of time, and that's okay. But beyond that, you, amen, you are heirs of God. You are joint heirs of Christ. Amen. And here, those possessions are eternal. And time, amen, will certainly bring an end to whatever you have here on this earth. All right, keep reading.
Verse 10. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power.
Mm-hmm.
In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Buried with him in baptism.
See, that has nothing to do with water baptism. I think I'll repeat that.
Come on.
So, well, how do you know, Pastor? Because of where we're reading from.
Come on.
This is why we say we have to rightly divide the word of God. We have to dispensationally separate the writings. Each dispensation has its own policy. Mm-hmm. Each administration has its own rules, mm-hmm. its own instructions, mm-hmm. its own directives. Mm-hmm. Amen. And just the fact that where we are reading from historically, amen, will give us the enlightenment that he is not talking about water baptism.
Yeah.
Amen. Historically, but first of all, this is the grace gospel. This is the information that is concomitant with the mystery. with the revelation.
Oh, yes.
Amen. The recipients of the grace dispensation are those, amen, who are members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Not that which is unheard of in the other dispensations.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And being a member of the body of Christ, amen, the essence of your interest into Him goes all the way back to the knowledge of what God has given us through revelation of Paul, that God accomplished these things in the spiritual sphere of eternity.
Yes.
Amen. So if you're talking about an eternal spiritual blessing, you cannot assign it a physical act. And water baptism, the ceremony of it, is a physical act.
Yes.
And no one is placed into the body of Christ for the entrance into Christ is not through the essence of any ceremony.
Yes.
Amen. It is through, amen, the fact of what God did for us in eternity. When He chose us, according to Ephesians 1 and 4, He elected, He chose you, and He placed you into the essence of Christ. My friends, this occurs in the eternal sphere. And in the eternal sphere, there is no such thing as the physical or the natural, because that which is going down in the eternal sphere is before God created the physical and the natural.
Glory to God. Thank you. Glory to God. Yes.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. And when you go to the 6th chapter of Romans, which I might ask, we'll be going there before it's over. It is not speaking of the fact that one is baptized physically in water, amen. It's because once you go there, then you got to start making up stuff. So if you make this water baptism, when you speak of resurrection, then you've got to give some explanation to what that means. And so they taught us that being buried in baptism, and so they said that's when they put you down in the water, you are buried in Jesus' name. And then when they pull you up, you're rising to walk in newness of life. Oh my God, hallelujah. But if you look and you read this thing according to its intended cogitation, you will see that this is all spiritual and none physical. All right, we'll be back to that. Read it. Verse 12 again.
Verse 12. Bear with him in baptism,
mm-hmm.
wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
All right, and then lastly, verse 13.
And you, being dead in your sins,
mm-hmm.
and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Man, you know, if you look at this, now, of course, we are going to go directly to the Greek. And you notice, even the translators here, they used a lot of gerunds. What is a gerund? A gerund is a verb with ing attached to it. Like you say, saying, that's a gerund. To say, in the Greek, you don't have any gerunds. But in order to show the essence of that which is as a result of what was. What is a result of what was, that's when the gerunds come into place. Amen. But we'll go back and we'll tie all of this together, but not today. We don't have time. All right. Now, Elza, take your, and I know you got your Greek. All right. You brothers, when you pull out the King James, pull out the Greek Bible also. Amen. Amen. We are not wedded a spouse to any translations. We are not captives of any translation. Whether it be the King James, whether it be the AVA, whether it be the NIV, amen, whether it be the New King James, no matter what it is, BBE, you know, whatever. Amen. We're not captive to that. In order to really understand what the Word of God is conveying, you're going to have to open this Bible and not just read it, but you're going to have to study it.
Amen.
This Bible has to be studied.
Yes.
Not just read.
Yes.
Even in the natural sphere of those who are studying in school, amen, you don't go into school and take the textbook, open it, and read it, and understand what's going on. You have to study. What makes you think you have to study the textbook, but you can just read the Bible and understand what's going on? Amen. It requires study. It requires scrutiny. It requires analyzation. Amen. And this is why, if you're going to interpret or come up with what it is saying or what it is intended to say, it must come through Bible exegesis. Amen. You've got to take this thing and look at it historically. What else?
Grammatically.
And contextually. Amen. And it's a time taker. And it's work, but it's well worth it to be able to read and to understand what the Word of God is conveying.
Amen.
All right, now, and verse 9. Okay, I want you to read. Now, like I've said, when you read, don't try to fix it up. Now, you see, when you're going from one language to the other, and you go back to the actual text, there many times is some jargon around as to what and how something should be said because of the way that we say things. Plus, the older languages, which the Greek is, is structured and formatted different from the English language. For instance, when we hear foreigners talking, that is people whose native tongue is not English, and sometimes we hear them put the verb in front of the noun, and we say they're talking backwards. Actually, we're the ones that talk backwards. So when we're reading this, and we're looking at the original language, there is some adjustment that must be made. All right. But I don't want you to try to do an adjusting. I just want you to read the raw material, what is there. And as we break down, we'll come up with how it is expressed in English translation versus what it actually is. Because sometimes when we go from one language to another, some things are lost.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Now, I've been accused sometimes of almost making Sunday morning a Bible study or so. Well, I don't apologize for that. We've been preached at, you know, someone comes out and says, open the Bible, and you read something, and you really don't know what you read, that you're reading, and then when you get through, they say, my subject is something, we'd all turn around and give each other high fives, and probably close the Bible, because we, you know, what we're talking about is a topic that we are trying to bend the text to accommodate. We do that because we have no confidence in the text. But just let the text do the talking. You know, like let your fingers and the yellow pages do the walking. Let the text do the talking. Amen. All right. In the ninth verse, and I know that most of us don't have the Greek Bibles. A few of us do. We're desperately trying to really, really come up with where we can find those Bibles, and I would like to convey them to as many people here in the congregation as would want one. And of course, again, do not run out to the bookstore, to the Bible store, get those interlineals. Many of them, they are slaves to the King James. So you haven't done anything. If you pick up a book that a Greek scholar has basically laid out to accommodate what is written in the King James.
That's right.
No. You go back to the manuscripts.
That's right.
And you follow them. And
they
won't lead you wrong, even if some of the writings there is, and you translate them and it seems to be different from the way we speak. Just stick with the ship. It won't lead you wrong. All right. Elder, read that ninth verse.
Colossians 2:9, retranslation.
Mm-hmm.
Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are in him, having been filled,
mm-hmm.
who is the head of all rule and authority, in whom also ye were circumcised with a circumcision, not hand wrought, by the putting off of the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Co-buried with him mm-hmm. in the baptism,
mm-hmm.
in whom also ye were co-raised through the faith of the operation of God,
mm-hmm.
raising him from dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you, dead, being in the trespasses and in the uncircumcision of the flesh of you, he co-quickened
mm-hmm.
you with him, forgiving you all the trespasses.
All right. Now, here... In this instance, the King James did a pretty good job of following the script. Follow me here now. Again, as we go back to the ninth verse, it reads, "For in him dwelt all, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." I'm going to jump here to this word Godhead.
All right.
for the so-called Trinitarians' sake, and they said this word is not translated Godhead, the Otitos. Is not translated Godhead. Now, the true essence of that word means divinity, divineness, or divinity. But instead of jumping all over that, look closely at the fact that the number is singular. It doesn't say Godheads. It doesn't say divinities. It doesn't say deities. Singular. Singular means one source. God is not three beings. And a being is a person, so God is not three persons. There's one emotional center. There's one intelligence center. There's one brain trust that is conveyed in three expressions. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but not three beings and not three persons. Now, I think we've said enough and we've written enough on this. Anybody that wants to continue to go around and say that because the majority said, then amen, God bless you. We love you anyway. And we don't fall out with the Trinitarians either. We don't fall out with any God's people. Because thank God it's not what you know that saves you.
Thank God.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? It is not what we understand and comprehend that saves us, but it's so good and glorious, and it's such a blessing to understand and comprehend.
That's right.
It's a blessing. All right? Now, in this verse, I'm going to wrap this up in about 10 minutes this morning, and we'll be heavy into this next week. It conveys the knowledge of who Jesus is. And what's the importance of that? The importance of that is it is the essence, it is the security, it is the heartbeat of your salvation. All of this is about Jesus. And if you don't understand that Jesus is God, then you're on shaky grounds. Because if Jesus is not God, we're still in our sins. If Jesus is not God, we're lost. Without any hope. And we might as well do like the unsaved and the non-elect and those who have no hope if Jesus is not God. If Jesus is not God, we are here this morning without purpose. Because there is no avenue of deliverance.
That's right.
If Jesus is not God. And so when you speak about the body, we go straight to the head.
Straight. Glory.
Because it is the head that conveys the characteristics to the body.
That's right. Glory.
The head, even in the natural sense. The head is the brain trust. It is the information center. My brains send a signal of communication to my hands and said, move. And what does my hand do? It moves. We must understand this.
Amen.
So that we can see the glorious workings of God. And understand that it is He in us. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it is He who hath begun the good work within you. That is already performed, but manifestation wise, He shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is He and His blood by which the third expression of the Godhead, if you will, a deity, has commissioned to the point that you are sealed unto the day of redemption.
That's right.
This is not no haphazard work God did.
No.
This is complete. It's irrevocable and irreversible. What you are, you cannot undo. If you are God's child, you cannot, amen, reverse it and lose it, as many teach. That's because Jesus is God. Follow me now. The knowledge of who He is solidifies the prominence of Christ as head of the church. Here Paul begins this verse, and here, yeah, I'm going to some grammar. Amen. We have what we call a subordinating conjunction, OT, which is in this case, we have rendered it because. Amen. Because of what? Paul said, a few things before he got to verse 9.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And if I can just back up to verse 6 here and just basically read a few things. He says, as you have, therefore, as you, amen, have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, speaking about how the child of God should live. Course, we're writing on the doctrine of peripatology, which, no big word, peripatic comes from the Greek word which means to walk. How the child of God lives. Amen. But how we live is based upon something. In verse 7, he said, rooted and built up in him. Amen. A lifestyle of living, amen, is more influenced as walking as a child of God when you are rooted and built up in him, because that's God's process for you walking in him. Not only that, he says to be established in the faith. Now here he's not talking about some denominational dogma. Amen. Say, what faith are you in? So I'm in apostolic faith. No, he's not talking about that. Huh? Established in the faith, the essence of those things, and that information, that speaks of the faithfulness of Christ, of which he said, as he writes to these Colossians, that you have been taught. And as you are taught these things, it brings about something. He says, you are bound and done in with thanksgiving. Amen. And this is why we don't have to, say, we have to get in, and this is the way they do many of the churches now, in order to get the emotional going, that music sounds good. And most of us, if you're talking about, after this, and most of us, music, it just flows freely through us, huh? And it really, and they have proven it doesn't matter what kind of music it is, because they've taken the music out of the world and brought it into the church, and everybody's still jumping, huh? But we have to be more from what we know than from what we feel.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes your feelings which will mislead you. Huh? Music has to do with the feelings. And it is an enhancer. And this is why. And I love music, but the best part of a song and the most important part of a song are the lyrics, not the melody. There are some things that I hear that sounds pretty good, and I just wish they could change the lyrics so I could sing it. But some things I can't sing, because we can't sing one thing and teach another. In other words, you can't believe one thing and sing another.
That's so true.
What you sing must be in tune with what we believe. And so as we look at this, he's saying, be moved by the things that you are taught. And then the verse just before verse 9, it says, beware.
Beware.
Warning. You ever got some medicine and you look upon it and it says warning? That means what? Stop and read before you take this. Because what is intended to help you could end up killing you if you don't stop and read. In other words, I'm not a partaker of alcohol, but for those who partake of alcohol, that warning is there telling them, don't take this and drink alcohol. Taking this will help you, but taking this with alcohol may kill you. So here's a warning here. And he says, don't let anyone corrupt you through philosophy and vain deceit. Oh my God, I wish some God's people would read that and get up and walk out some of these ministries that's teaching all of this garbage about five ways to do this and 15 ways to do this and how to get your healing and keep it and never be sick again. You know that don't make no sense. And even if you're looking in the kingdom gospel and you look at Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, where is Lazarus today? Huh? He got sick again, and this time he died, and Jesus didn't raise him from the dead. Lazarus has been dead a long time ago. Nobody's claiming that he's alive. So how are you going to get your healing and keep it? Because if you heal the left toe, the right finger, amen, is going to start the ailing. I'll leave that alone this morning. All right, give me 3 minutes here, and I'm going to, somebody alert the children downstairs, the coordinator downstairs. Beware, lest any man spoil you, to corrupt you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the tradition of men, and the elements are rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So you see why he comes and he says, because in him, because in him, because in him, all the fullness of the Godhead, or all the fullness of deity bodily dwells. We are deal, amen, with that Greek word somatikos, which is bodily. Amen. In our succeeding presentations of what is conveyed here. But look at verse 8 and compare it to verse 9, and then I'm down for the day. How can you be corrupted? You can be corrupted through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the elements of the rudiments of the world. So what he said is, watch what you're taking out of men, the traditions, amen, of the inclination of men, and out of the world. I was watching on television last night, and I was a little boy. I don't mind telling my age. I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61, amen, next month. And so that means that in 1954, I was born in 44, I was 10. And Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, for those who had televisions at that time, amen. Well, I have to tell you, we had the only television on our block. but he would come on. And supposedly preaching. He was a Catholic priest. And the name of the show was Life Was Worth Living. And he wrote some 90-some books and hundreds of articles. And many said what a great preacher he was. And I was just listening to it last night. And basically what he was speaking about was it was political. It was social and political. No text. And do you know that that's what's happening in the church today? The biggest congregation that is numerical wise are those that flock to ministries that teach philosophy. And appeal to the vainness of humanity. And everything is about men, and everything is about what's going on in the world. I have a book upstairs. And I'm through for today, but I have a book upstairs that it tells you step by step how to build a large congregation. Tells you the things to do and not to do. And some years ago, I went to a conference down in Houston, and I'm glad I went because the biggest thing I learned was what I was not going to do.
All right now. All right. Mm-hmm.
It states, and I break all of those rules. It states, don't preach on doctrine. Mm-hmm. Preach on issues. Mm-hmm. In other words, pick a topic, mm-hmm. something that's interesting to those who attend in the service.
Yeah.
In other words, deal with something that appeals to humanity.
All right.
And then it says, don't preach too long. And I know I break that one too, as far as what they call too long. It's amazing that we can go to a concert and sit there and listen to singing for 2.5 hours. But as soon as the minister goes past 15 minutes, we started looking at our watches and clocks. And I'm not in the least bit intimidated. Amen. You come here, I get up at 12, I'm usually down by 1. Because when I leave here and I go to eat and I'm driving, I pass by many churches that are still in session. And I say, what? But I know many other things are going on. The big appeal is to the flesh. You've got the prayer lines. And I'm an ardent proponent of prayer. But I declare, our thing is not, our aim, brother, is not to appeal to the flesh. There are many things we could do to appeal to the flesh. And in appealing to the flesh, we could pack the place out. But what have we compromised? What have we done? And this is what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying is, don't appeal to the flesh. He said, beware. Do not get caught up with those things that appeal to the flesh. He said, well, you're concentrating on the traditions of men and the elements of the world and not in Christ. You've left Christ. You can appeal to a lot of people. A lot of people like politics. A lot of people like sociology. A lot of folk like psychology. And you can appeal to these things. And it'll be very interesting. But what Paul said, and not in Christ. And in verse 9 he said, because it is in him. Everything is about him. It's not just about him. It's all about him. Because whatever's going down, my friend, it's going to pass. It's going to wind up with time. When there's no more time, there's no more whatever you're talking about. It won't matter what the issues of the day were in eternity, except as a testimony to say, look where the Lord has brought me from. But it won't be important in the eternal stream. We're not saying they're not important. We said they're not important in the eternal stream. And when we prioritize, we'll start that next week, that our focus must be in him, in the essence of Christ, in the essence of who he is. Now, many preachers don't feel like they have preached unless they have, quote, preached to people happy. I'm more concerned about whether you have been illuminated and elucidated than whether I'm concerned about whether your emotions have been titillated. Because this is what the essence of it is. So let's continue to focus in Christ, in the Word, and every Sunday, what is the subject?
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
Because it's all about Him, the head of this glorious body of Christ, the church. God bless you.
Jesus. Thank God. Thank God.